This portion of the Bob Romanek Grim Reaper of Radio is brought to you by NAME, the National Association for Majority Equality, a national organization established to fight for and preserve equality for every American, regardless of race.
This is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio. Here at KQQZ 1190 AM, we like to have fun. But on a very serious note, you have probably noticed the very unorthodox way that we operate this radio station. We do things quite differently, probably unlike any other radio station in the universe. In the radio world, dead airspace is the worst thing that could ever happen. But here at KQQZ 1190 AM, we think sometimes that dead airspace and silence is good. No, great, especially when it gives us time to remember our loved ones who have passed on before us. Too often, we are too busy to take a moment out of our hectic day to remember our loved ones. KQQZ will now have a minute of dead airspace, a minute of silence, if you will. So please, take this time to remember the loved ones that we will never forget. It will certainly make your day a whole lot better. If you don't appreciate the minute of silence to honor our loved ones that have passed on before us, or if you're offended by the silence, then please tune to another station. And after you've tuned to another station because of our silence, don't come back. Because our radio family here at KQQZ really don't want you as a listener. Now, KQQZ's Minute of Silence.
KQQZ 1190 AM sincerely thanks you for your patience and decency. Now, back to our regular scheduled programming.
Beware. Beware. This is a warning. The Grim Reaper of Radio, Bob Romanek, with his off-the-record show is about to air. He's probably the nastiest and craziest son of a bitch that you've ever had the misfortune to encounter. The Grim Reaper show will be very controversial and probably quite tasteless. If you are even slightly offended by controversial matter concerning religion, racial matters, politics, or life's problems, you are hereby warned to turn this program off immediately. The Grim Reaper show will be, like his face, very scary and very ugly. At this time, not proudly, but shamefully presents to you, Bob Romanek, the craziest son of a bitch on the radio today.
We'll be right back. in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone, bad to the bone, bad to the bone. Bad to the bone.
This is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio, and you're listening to the all-new KQQZ 1190 AM. Insane broadcasting at its finest. America's bi-state voice of freedom. Renegade Radio. And as always, we are proud, very, very proud to be the Patriot. This is Bob Romanek, the craziest, no goodest bastard you'll ever want to hear on the radio. But as always, if you don't want to listen, you know what to do. Before we get going, lines are open today. We want to keep lines open maybe today. So if you have something you'd like to talk about that's relatively interesting, you can give us a call. We are America's voice of freedom, definitely the Patriot. You can call toll free 1-888-394-1430 or on the east side 394-1190. I want to say hello to a few people, and we met a million people over the weekend, but I don't have enough time. First, I'd like to say what a great time we had out at the new Memphis Station Bar and Grill, their crawfish boil Saturday, June the 1st. We got out there about 2:30, had a great time, great food. The crawfish was excellent. And I want to thank Cliff Thompson, and he's the owner operator, and everybody else out there had such a great time. Didn't get threatened once. Had a lot of people want to get pictures taken and had a good time with them. So we want to thank you guys. Hopefully you'll have it every year. And if we can ever help you guys out again, you know where we're at anytime, anywhere. Also, I'd like to say hello to all the good people at Oakville, Illinois. That's just east, a little bit east of O'Fallon, Illinois, and Fairview Heights, Illinois. They're having their Heritage Days Festival. It's sponsored by the Heritage House Museum Association. They're having it this coming up Saturday and Sunday, June the 8th and June the 9th. It'll be held at the Heritage House Historic Site, the Schlosser Complex, located at 14 West Walnut in Oakville, Illinois. They're going to have games. They're going to have bands. Going to have a great time out there. So if you people want to go out and see what the old-time people used to do and what they used to say and how they used to act, please try to make it a point to be out there. That's this weekend, June the 8th and 9th, at the Oakville Heritage Days. They'll be running from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on both days. If you have any questions or concerns, you can contact Jackie. She's the tourism coordinator for the Village of Oakville. You can contact Jackie at 618-243-5694. That's Jackie. It's 618-243-5694. Also, I'd like to say hello to some people we met over the weekend. First and foremost, Andrew. We were at Sugo's in Edwardsville this weekend, and he's a great employee there. We gave him one of our hats. What a great young man. And I want to say hello to Joe and his dog. Joe was walking his dog also in the Sugo's parking lot and come up to me, said he listens every day, loves what we're doing, and wanted to thank him. Also, out at the Old Country Buffet, and I guess it's Swansea. I don't know if it's Swansea or O'Fallon. Phil and Tara and two beautiful daughters. They were out there, and I want to say hello to them. Also, want to say hello to Julie and Shelby Lynn and Nick. Shelby Lynn and Nick's our good friends from Granite City. Want to say hello to those great people. I want to say hello again to everybody else. Couldn't get everybody's name, didn't have time, but want to say hello and thank you guys, and thanks for the compliments. And I know it's getting better, so let's just keep it. Let's just keep it that way. Let's start off. I'm going to start off, I guess, and we can start off in Illinois. The Illinois State House, they legalized recreational marijuana. Now, we have talked about that before. They legalized recreational marijuana, and I don't know if it's going to be a major problem, but they voted. It wasn't even a close vote. It was 66-47. And it came on the last day of regular legislative session in Springfield. The Illinois State House approved the measure 38-17 on Wednesday. So that's going to go through. It's going to start on the first of the year 2020. And again, I don't know how many problems we're going to have. I hope we don't have many, but I just foresee major problems with the way they're going to disperse the money, the way they're going to handle the money. And it's amazing. It's amazing to see that 20% of the programs are going to address mental abuse programs, 25% to reinvest in this great, once great state of Illinois, 8% for law enforcement, 2% for public education and public safety campaigns, 10% for the bill backlog, and 35% to the state's general revenue fund. Now, they talk about this is going to generate one whole hell of a lot of money, but I don't believe at the end of the day it's going to be that beneficial to us, because I think with all the problems that are going to happen down the road, I think it's going to be a major concern. I personally do. I've never smoked marijuana. Don't give a damn what anybody does with their personal life. And when they take their personal life and it interferes with everybody else's life in the community, everybody else's life in the cities they live, everybody else's life in the state they live in this great country of ours, then it concerns me. And I think it would concern you guys a whole lot too. So, but we're going to see where this goes. We had people like Latoya Greenwood, our great, great, great state representative from East St. Louis, who's not so great. She's members of the Black Caucus on issues including marijuana legalization and economic initiatives that pertain to communities of color. Do you notice how it always ends up being in the Black community, community of color? That's where they get their votes. It's like Bruce Franks over in St. Louis, and you know, he resigned, but I honestly think that he will end up being indicted over all this crap with this SLATE program in St. Louis. Of course, there's a lot more to come there, and we'll have to see, but it just amazes me here in Illinois that everything ends up being related to blacks. And I don't know how the hell, and not the proud blacks, I'm talking about the niggers. The proud blacks don't want to get involved because the proud blacks have out working jobs. They're out doing what's best for them and their families. The good couple we met at the restaurant on Sunday, both of them hardworking people. He thanked me. I give him a hat. He says, "I'll wear it with pride." And he was a proud black man. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing how you can take a lot of these situations and say, why? Why isn't it going to get better? But apparently, this marijuana situation is not going to be the best. Now, also, they've also are going to legalize a bunch of gambling bills and gambling situations. It's going to be a 40 plus billion dollar spending plan on Friday night when they took care of all of it. But it's amazing. It's amazing at the end of the day how they're going to support all this crap. Now they say there's going to be money for more gambling facilities, going to be more money for places to gamble with these gambling halls, these small gambling halls, and they continue to say all this crap. But when they continue to say it and you never see anything done, then it's a totally different situation. Now, I honestly think they're going to make money. They're going to make money off the gambling. They're going to make money off the marijuana. But I just wonder, is it going to be enough money to take care of all the problems? And you know, we have problems every day with gambling. We have problems every day with marijuana. And I don't see it being addressed. I see people going to jail. I see people getting out of jail. I see people going to jail for a year or two or three. But now, because of what? Because of the blacks again, they want to make it with the marijuana that no, there's not going to be. There's not going to be any jail time because it's all going to be recreational or municipal marijuana. So nobody's going to go to jail. And now they want it. Now they want it where if you have marijuana and it's just a small amount, they're going to try to make it where you can get your record expunged. So there'll never be any problems with the marijuana smoking. To me, that's bad enough. But then when it goes from marijuana, well, what about maybe cocaine? What about maybe heroin? What about maybe methamphetamines? What about maybe this? What about maybe that? I don't understand. And I don't understand how these people that take this stuff and how these people that condone this stuff are ever going to make it right. I don't believe at any point. I don't believe at any point they're going to make it right. But having said that, we'll see where all that's going to go. Hopefully it'll work out. But I still say, and you can put this in your pipe and smoke it, that at the end of the day, there's going to be problems with it. And I don't know how major or how minor, but I guarantee you it's going to be worth us having the fight for. It's going to be worth having to put more money into this, more money into a decriminalization of marijuana. Because after you say, hey, let's have marijuana, no big deal. It has been a big deal in the past. Now they're going to say, well, it's been a year or two. Let's go to heroin. What's that going to hurt? Let's try heroin. Let's try this. Let's try that. And at some point in time, it's going to be where it's never, ever, ever going to be enough. And I say, in the next 30, 40, 50 years, I won't be around. A lot of us won't be around. But you're going to see a totally, totally different country. And it's not going to be pretty. At the end of the day, it's not going to be pretty. Let's talk about, I was listening, and then I saw a little bit of it on TV. And so I tried to research a little bit, and it was actually in the paper. And it's in the front page, bottom fold, though. It's bottom fold, not top fold on front page. Where are the black hoops coaches? Now, a lot of them are bitching, moaning, and groaning about the African Americans. Now, they say that there's 58 or 60% of the players of basketball are African American, but there's only about 8% that are coaches or assistant coaches. And some of the black stars have made a major push on this. It says in the sport in which it says 53, it's more about 55% of the players were African American in 2018. And I do not believe that. I believe it's more than 53.6%. It says only 22% of Division I men's basketball head coaches were African American, down from an all-time high of 25.2%, 3% difference. But it amazes me. It amazes me how you can have these African-American ball players who have never coached in their lives, and they make them professional coaches. Something happens. They don't know what the hell they're doing. And what happens then? They get fired. I think one year, was it this year or last year, there were 12 black coaches fired. And I think some of the schools thought, hey, I'm tired of this. If the coach is qualified, I don't give a damn what color he is. We're going to give them the opportunity, but I'll be damned. And I think a lot of these universities have felt the same way, that they're going to take the best qualified. If it happens to be white, they're going to take it. But it's amazing. It's amazing. It says, of course, some pish-posh calls for more minority coaches in college sports. And it says the most qualified candidate should get the job regardless of race. Now, that's been said for quite a while, but see, it's never done. They had the affirmative action. They had all this stuff with the blacks. They tried to push the blacks into jobs. If a black got a 30 and a white guy got a 90, they would put so many black guys ahead of the white guys. Never thought that was right. I don't care if it was black on white or white on black. I don't care if it was Hispanic on white or white on Hispanic. It's not right. I think the best qualified man should get the job, but now they're starting to bitch and moan and groan again. And it says, unfortunately, it is the topic, but it shouldn't be, meaning that he feels this black gentleman feels that there's a lot more qualified black coaches that should be having the opportunity. And I say to that, again, I don't give a damn what color you are. If you can win, if you're capable of winning, if you've got a winning record, I'm for you. Again, I don't care, you black, white, purple, yellow, green. But they talk this crap, and they always talk this crap at the professional level. But then whenever there's not enough blacks, you know what happens. They come back with, well, you know what, there's not enough blacks. There's so many black ball players, but not enough black coaches or assistant coaches. And I say to that, I hope they all take the most qualified and run with the most qualified candidate. I don't give a damn what color he is, but they're going to make it. They're going to make it here, just like they have throughout some of the high schools, some of the colleges, and now it's even got to the pro ranks that there's not enough blacks. It says, when you look at half of our league is comprised of 5 African-American coaches, it says it's amazing that that's all they have is 5. Why don't they have more? Well, maybe they don't have more because maybe, as they had in the past with professional football, they've tried and it just hasn't worked out. Maybe it'll take a few more years to train these guys. But I say to that, I don't think a NBA coach, I don't think an NFL coach, I don't think a Major League Baseball coach should have to be trained. I think they should come up the hard way, both black or white. I don't give a damn. I don't give a damn what color they are. But it's amazing. It's amazing now that it says here that one possible answer, Central Florida's research, in 2018, 85% of Division I athlete directors were white and only 8.7% black. See, it's amazing, isn't it? They're going to use the race card. They don't give a damn about qualifications. And I'm not talking about the proud blacks. I'm talking about the niggers. The niggers don't give a damn about qualifications. They give a damn about getting the job because of the color of their skin. They want equal treatment. Well, we're trying to give them equal treatment, but to give them equal treatment, they have to be equally qualified. We've got some callers. Go ahead, Randy. You're on the dark side.
Hey, Bob, take coaching out of the equation. I mean, I know the league over the last several years made a huge push.
Randy, you're going to have to speak into the phone. We can barely hear you.
I said, I know the league has made a big push over the last couple of years to get more minorities.
What league is that, Randy? Upper management.
So coaching isn't a big thing.
What league is that you're talking about, Randy?
In the NBA. And okay. I would also like to say, you know, the upper management holds just as much as a coach, but I would love to take a bubble bath with you.
Okay, I guess he's gone. I don't know why I have to get such crazy callers. Like to take a bubble bath with me. I guess, you know, I am a good looking guy, but I don't know, Randy. Maybe you better get a hold of Mark the Big Faggot Kern the Failed, St. Clair County Board Chairman. Maybe he can take care of you on that situation. But, you know, when Randy talked about the situation where they're trying to bring more blacks in, I ask why. Why don't they just bring the best qualified? Why don't they just bring the best qualified athletes in that are ex baseball players, ex basketball players, ex football players? And if they think they've had enough training as coaches in different schools, maybe they bring them up and give them the opportunity. But for you, Randy, and everybody else out there to think, hey, let's go ahead and just try to take somebody because he's black and make him a qualified, certified coach, I say that's totally wrong. I think you come up the hard way. I think in athletics, you come up the hard way. Whenever you're on the softball team or the baseball team in high school, you don't expect to get drafted when you're a sophomore or a freshman. Now, when you're a senior, maybe, and some do get drafted to professional leagues at 18, 19 years old, but a lot of them, too, go away to college for 4 years. I do not understand, and I don't know why, but I do not understand why people have to say, hey, because there's so many black players, there should be that many black coaches, there should be that many black managers in baseball. I do not understand that, but they keep this up, and for whatever reason, I have no idea, but I believe it's going to continue until we as decent people, both black and white, say, hey, enough's enough. We could sit here all day and talk about this situation, and it really wouldn't make any difference. It wouldn't make them any difference, because if there wasn't so many black, he says, in the sport where there's a 53.6% black, and I believe that to be wrong. I believe in professional basketball, there's a lot more than 53. Now, you know what that tells you, people? It says 53% of the players in 2018 were black. Now that makes 46.4% white. Now you guys can follow every professional basketball team in this country, and I guarantee you, if they say it's that close, black to white, they're nuts. If they say it's that close, somebody's been drinking the Kool-Aid and it has something in it, because it's not even close to that. But they'll continue to say that. They'll continue to fight their fight. And what have I always said? Give me 5, give me 10 blacks rather than 500 or 1,000 whites, because the white people will say, hey, as long as it doesn't affect me right this minute, as long as it doesn't affect me right this minute, I don't want to get involved. And it's a shame. It's a shame that people don't want to get involved in something that they know down the road at some point in time, there's going to be a problem. But everybody will just let it go. The whites will say, hey, it's not a big problem right now, let's wait. The blacks will say, hey, that's a big problem, should have been taken care of 20 years ago. So again, give me 5, 10, 15 blacks rather than 500, 1,000, 1,500 whites, because I guarantee you, I'll get the blacks motivated. And it doesn't take much, and I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said blacks. It doesn't take much to get these niggers motivated, because these son of a bitches are ready to fight. They're ready to fight no matter what the situation is. And you guys know that. You get out there, you see the high school sports, you see the college sports, and these guys are just crazy. They want to fight. They want to fight. This says Division I college basketball is what it says here. Well, let me see, double check. Just had somebody call, and they could be right. On college sports. Well, I was half wrong on that, because that's what they're talking about at the college level. Where are the black coaches now? And I still think maybe all throughout this country, it's 53% black at the college level. But I guarantee you, when it gets up to the professional basketball level, the NBA, if it's not 75-80% black, somebody's wrong, and it's not me. I guarantee you, it's closer to 75-80% black on the basketball court. And you know, they always have to hire one or two, or assign one or two white guys, even if they never play. They'll get a decent white guy, and they'll put him in if they're winning by 30 points. They'll put him in if they're losing by 25 at the end of the game. They may throw him in, but they're there to win, and I don't blame them. I'm not bitching, because to me, the black athletes are better than the white athletes. Now, I'm going to get some white athletes mad at me, but all in all, when you talk football, when you talk basketball, I'm saying that the white athletes are not quite up to par. I'm not saying that they're not great athletes, but I just think most of the blacks are just a little bit better. Now, baseball, you've had most of the blacks got out of baseball because, as you know, it takes 7, 8, 9 people to play the game, and that's on one team. So if you have 7 on one and 7 on the other, that's 14. You got to have an umpire, that's 15. The blacks, they're not going to get out and try to get 15 people together. Back in the day, they tried, but it didn't work. That's why they went to football, and that's why they went to basketball. But this guy is true. It is. It says about the college players, but in this article, it throws in as much about the professional NBA as it does college basketball. And I see that's open for discussion. But again, for me, in the professional ranks, it's 75-80%, and if anybody says any different, they're totally wrong. I'll tell you, we're going to take a quick break. Lines are open. We are the Patriot. If I feel like talking to you, maybe I'll talk to you. Maybe I won't. You can call toll-free 1-888-394-1430 on the east side, 394-1190, and we'll be back right after this break. This is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of radio, and you're listening to the all-new KQQZ 1190 AM, insane broadcasting at its finest, America's bi-state voice of freedom, renegade radio. And as always, we are proud, very proud to be the Patriot.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
Listening to Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of radio, is like getting shot in the head. It only hurts for a little while. Then you die and the pain is gone.
From KQQZ 1190 AM, St. Louis, Missouri, USA, you're listening to Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of radio.
This program intended for mature audiences.
The only thing worse than listening to Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of radio, is perhaps getting your head severed. But then some will say it's a toss-up. Now, back to Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of radio.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
Well, the party was nice, the party was bumping. And everybody having a ball. Until the fellas started name calling. And the girls respond to the call. I hear a poor one shout out.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
This is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of radio, and you're listening to the all-new KQQZ 1190 AM, insane broadcasting, America's bi-state voice of freedom, renegade radio. And as always, we are proud, very, very proud to be the Patriot. Going to take it anymore. You people understand where we've been. We're not going to take it anymore. The decent, proud, hardworking black and white people, we're not going to take it anymore. You see this crap going on in Illinois, and it's not going to be pretty. I don't think it's going to be pretty at the end of the day, but the Illinois lawmakers, the state representatives, they're in line for a $1,600 a year salary increase after the House of Representatives surprised the Senate. They surprised the Senate. And they're both a majority. The Democrats are both a majority. Surprised the Senate, they said, by slipping a pay raise into budget legislation, then refusing to take actions on the Senate's attempt to reverse it. There's a $40 billion budget the House adopted Saturday night, following a Sunday by the Senate action, which ended the legislator's spring session, including a 2.4% cost of living adjustment in the legislator's base salary of $68,000. People, now, I think if we're not the highest, we're the second highest state representative salary in this great United States of America. And it's a shame. But they say they put it in and the Senate was going to try to take it out. Now, I do not in any way, shape, or form believe that to happen. I think they knew what was going on. I think the Senate knew what was going on, and they now it's not just in the House. All the state senators for the state of Illinois will also get that $1,600 a year salary increase, and I don't know if it's a 2-year, 4-year, or 10-year, but they're all going to get it. And it's amazing. It's amazing how they let all this crap go. You know, we talked about the marijuana. Now the Illinois Senate, they voted, and they're going to have a new gambling expansion. They're going to have $40 billion in the state budget. They're going to have a $45 billion state construction program. They're going to legalize adult recreational use of marijuana and legalize the declaration, the rights to women to have fundamental rights to seek an abortion if they would. They're also in this program, they're going to have room for a Chicago land-based casino, and also casinos in some other three or four other towns in the state of Illinois. It said the casino would have up to 4,000 gambling positions. The Chicago casino they're talking about would be privately owned, and the city would get 1/3 of all tax revenue from it. 1/3 of all tax revenue. The casino would have up to 4,000 gambling positions, slot machines, or seats at a gaming table, while others, new and current casinos, could increase their gambling positions from 1,200 to 2,000, just about the double. They also would allow horse tracks to have 1,200 gambling positions. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing what this once great state of Illinois has in store, not just for the hardworking people, but I think for everybody. When they talk, and you put this in your pipe and smoke it, when they talk about 97% of the people in this great state are not going to have to pay any more taxes, they're a damn liar. You're going to pay more taxes on your licensing fees. That's already happened. They've just doubled. You tell me what you think, people, about them doubling, just doubling the state gas tax. You know, that's amazing. Let's take some callers before it gets too late. Go ahead, Don. You're on the dark side.
Hello?
Go ahead, Don.
Good morning, Bob. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, sir. How about yourself?
Well, pretty good. I listen to you off and on when I... And I hear you talking about the niggers in East St. Louis. I was just wondering, because I was told by my mom and dad, we lived in Collinsville, and my mom used to tell me back in the 50s, St. Louis wasn't the place to go. East St. Louis was the place to go. That's where all the big stores was. And I can remember her saying when she was a teenager in school, she would catch a bus in Collinsville and go to East St. Louis to shop and come home after dark, stand on the street corner on Missouri Avenue, catch a school bus, or a bus, and come back. Do you remember that day?
Hey, Don, I was born in 1949. I remember the late 50s, and your mother was totally right. You could go through East St. Louis at any point in time. You could be there on the corner. Nobody would bother you. There was proper police protection. And I didn't know before then, but I even think before then it was probably just as good. I think in the mid-60s it started changing, and it really changed for the worse. It hasn't gotten any better, Don, and I know it's never going to get any better. What's your point?
It ain't never going to get any better. My dad used to work down there on the railroad.
Uh-huh.
And we used to go down there, and he used to show me where the stores used to be, and there was nothing but a bunch of burned-out buildings. The niggers took it over. He used to say you'd put a big fence around there and just make it a big prison and just throw them all in there and let them take care of themselves.
You know, Don, I somewhat agree with him, because, again, I think back in the 50s and early 60s and in the 30s and 40s, I think it was a great, wasn't around, but I think it was a great town. I think when the blacks started moving in, there was so many of them moving in because there were jobs at all the packing houses, all the railroads. I think the blacks started moving in, and I think when they started moving in, there started to be problems, and with the problems, the whites started moving out, and I think that was the beginning of the end, don't you?
Yeah, it is everywhere. everywhere they move in. They move in, they bring, the good ones come first, the good blacks come first, and then their kids bring all the bad ones with them.
Yeah, you know, Don, I can just about agree with you on that, because I've been around long enough and I've seen where good black families have moved in, and there's always one black sheep in the family. I don't care if from a white family or a black family, there's always one no count, good for nothing, low life bastard, and he brings in the crap, and once he brings in the crap, it gets out of hand, and once it gets out of hand, it doesn't get any better.
Yeah, he worked down there till he died. And he used to tell me back in the 70s when I was a kid, because he had plenty of black friends. He had plenty that he worked
sure,
with.
Sure, sure.
But there's plenty of niggers.
Right.
And he used to tell me, he said, the niggers are the cancer of this country. They're going to bring it down. And look what's happening.
Yeah. You know, Don, thanks for the call, buddy. I appreciate you listening. I think you're totally right. I think, and I don't think just the niggers. I think the crackers and the hunkies, the whites on the other end, the bad whites, not the proud whites, but the crackers and the hunkies, the bad white people, they're going to help with the niggers bring it down, because that's what they do. They can't work. They don't want to work. They could probably get a job, but why the hell would they want a job? Why would the niggers, why would the crackers, why would the hunkies want a job if they don't have to have a job? And you're right, Don. I think that's going to be the downfall, but I think at some point in time, we're all, the proud white and proud black, going to have to get together and say, hey, enough's enough. And once they do that, I think you're going to see a change in attitudes. I don't think there's ever going to be a race riot, because I think the proud white and proud black people will eventually come together. And when they do come together, I think you're going to see where it's going to be very, very difficult to have these niggers at any point in time think that. Now, at this point, I think they honestly think they're going to take over Don and everybody else. But they're not. And the time's going to come, and the proud white and proud black people are going to come together, and you know what they're going to say? Hey, enough's enough. We've had it, and we're not going to play any more games. And I think that could be somewhat right around the corner, because I don't think, I don't give a damn about these politicians. I don't give a damn about the 200 state reps and 50 senators for the state of Illinois and all the other states or whatever. But I think at the end of the day, people all throughout this great country are going to decide, hey, enough's enough. And whenever it gets to that point, Don, and everybody else, I think when it gets to that point, you're going to see that the niggers, the crackers, the hunkies, they're going to be pushed back, and they're going to be pushed back, and they're going to be pushed back, and they're going to do one or two things. They're either going to come together with us, they're either going to learn a job, they're going to learn a skill, they're going to get a job, they're going to have families, or they're going to go to jail, because this country cannot, not only cannot, will not survive with the rate we're going. And all you good people know, the rate we're going is not a good rate. We're going to take a quick break here momentarily. Lou and everybody else, hang on. I'll try to get a few more callers. I just want to say this National Spelling Bee was at a loss for words, so they crowned 8. A superhuman group of adolescents broke the Scripps National Spelling Bee on Thursday, and they had 8 contestants crowned co-champions. After the competition said it was running out of challenging words, there were 8 people this year, first year ever, 8 people that were crowned spelling bee champs. Usually they get down to 1 after so long. This time it was a 92nd annual event, and they could not stump. They could not stump 8 of the contestants, the last 8 contestants. So what they did, They offered a $50,000 prize to the winner. This year, they're splitting it 8 ways. He said all contestants will receive $50,000 in their own trophy. So instead of just giving out 1 $50,000 trophy, they're going to give out 8 $50,000 trophies. And I think that's the way to do it. The only thing that kind of didn't hit right with me, and it wasn't didn't hit right, out of the 8, there was 1. And Erin Howard, she was from Huntsville, Alabama. She was the only actual white girl. The rest of them were from Pakistan. The rest of them from wherever. All some of the Rohan Jahada, Christopher Suraraka Bakadaka. I mean, there's some crazy names, and that's okay. If they're American citizens, that's okay. But it just struck me a little strange. There was only, out of the 8, only 1 one true American, and I mean by true American, you know what I'm talking about, one white lady. So let's go ahead and take Lou before we take a break. Go ahead, Lou. You're on the dark side.
Yeah, Bob, thanks for taking my call. Just a couple comments, you know, over all the topics that you guys were talking about, you know, with the NBA, the Major League, the NFL, all this coaching, and you know, not enough white coaches. But the bottom line is, man, you know, 99% of the season ticket holders are white. And the same goes for all the colleges as well. If you look in the stands, 99% of the people who buy those season tickets are white. So, I mean, with that being said, you're going to get white coaches. They're not there to see everybody black. That's just not going to happen in our day and age. And as far as the land-based casinos, you mark my word on this, Bob, that Alton Bell Casino is going to be closing down before too long, and they're going to get a big land-based casino in Evershaw. That's going to take that over. I don't know if you heard that or not, but that's going to take that over. It's kind of hush-hush in such a way, but that's where that's going. But anyway, other than that, that's about all I got.
Okay, Lou, thank you very much for the call. Yeah. And I have heard, and I don't know if it's 99% white in the stands all the time. There's some black colleges. I don't think it's quite 90. It may be 85%. It's not 99%. But, Lou, I do agree with you. I have heard about this land-based casino coming in to Madison County, getting away from the Argosy Casino there in Alton. And I think that's just a matter of time. I can see the way the state legislature's going, that it's going to be sooner than later, that there are going to be more land-based casinos. They're going to have legalized marijuana. They're going to try to legalize something else. And again, at some point in time, it's going to be too much. And at that point, I think we're going to see problems unless we take care of them. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back right after these messages. This is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio, and you're listening to the all-new KQQZ 1190 AM. Insane Broadcasting, America's Bi-State Voice of Freedom, Renegade Radio, and as always, we are proud, very, very proud to be the Patriot.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Listening to Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio, is like getting shot in the head. It only hurts for a little while. Then you die and the pain is gone.
From KQQZ 1190 AM, St. Louis, Missouri, USA, you're listening to Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio.
This program intended for mature audiences.
The Grim Reaper of Radio, death and taxes. Three things you never really want to experience. Now, let's get back to Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio.
Like trouble, but if it came along, everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for this county's shining light, but you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right. He'd say, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
This is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio, and you're listening to the all-new KQQZ 1190 AM, Insane Broadcasting, America's bi-state voice of freedom, Renegade Radio. We are proud, very, very proud to be the Patriot. Welcome, welcome back. We've got 4 or 5 minutes left. We got about 30 things I want to talk about, but what I want to get into, I want to get into this Scott's Law. You guys know Scott's Law, don't you? That's the law in Illinois now where if you don't pull over to the side, if you don't get away from where state troopers out in the highway, trooper happens to get hurt, it's going to jack your fine up. Used to be $50, now it's going to go from the first offense, could be fined at least $500 for the first offense. The second offense could be up to $1,000, and then the maximum fine for any of the other enforcements would be $10,000. So you people know where I'm at with all this stuff. You see, it says money collected from the Scott's Law will go into a Scott's fund to produce driver's education material, and the rest of it's going to be spent on whatever these asswipe, no-count politicians want to spend it on. You know, every one of these new bills, it's costing us more and more and more money every day. But it's going to cost us more than that down the road, because we've come to the point, people, not just in the state of Illinois, but all throughout this great country, that we're spending so much money on fines, so much money on material, on things that they say is not a fine. They say it's a fee. This is a license fee that you're paying whenever you get these new, when you get your new license plates and you get all this new stuff. Don't let them fool you. It's a tax, it's another tax, and it's going to remain taxed. Let's take one more caller before we go. Go ahead, Steve. You're on the dark side.
Hey, Bob, I just want to make a request to any black motorists that are out there.
Okay.
Once they venture out of their area over in North City and they come to West County or South City, please stop making left turns from the U-turns in the curb lane. Stop sitting in the middle of the intersection trying to figure out where you're at and expecting everybody else to go around you. Get your battery fixed in your car. I get tired of seeing them standing around with a pair of jumper cables in their hand and a stupid look on their face wanting some white guy to jump them. I'm tired of it.
You know what, Steve? I agree with you and all the above. Doesn't it piss you off when you drive around and you see this crap and you think, when's it going to change?
I know. And then they claim we're racist. The whites are so racist. I don't know of any other culture that would let the females of that culture be taken over by another culture. I mean, you can't watch a TV show, you can't watch a commercial, you can't look at an advertisement in the paper unless it's a black guy with a white girl. And if there's a white guy standing around, he's doing something stupid. He's falling down. He's gotten hit in the head with something. It's unbelievable. And nobody says a word about it. So we're so racist that we just let that go on. Unbelievable.
You know, Steve, everybody says how racist we are. If we're so racist, why did we elect the first black president this 8 years ago?
Exactly.
But, you know, you can't tell them that because they always come up with something else. There's always another reason, as you know. You know as well as I do.
Well, and the people in South City, they're in for a big shock over there, what's moving into that area.
I
know they're putting a lot of money in their houses, they're paying a lot of taxes, but another year or two, all that area over there is being redefined. The boundaries are redefined every summer.
You know what, Steve, thanks for the call. We're running out of time. A very informative call. I agree with everything that Steve had just said, and it's getting to the point where if it's not stopped and not stopped soon, It's never going to get stopped. And as always, people, we're just about out of time. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the St. Louis African Arts Festival. We're going to bring everything up that nobody else will talk about. We're going to bring up things about the niggers. We're going to bring up things about the crackers. We're going to bring up things about the hunkies. because time has come where we all need to know where we're at. Now, after we've got all this information and after we've sat down and after all the whites say, hey, that's okay, I want it to be that way. I want it to be that way. I want the blacks to have everything they want. If they have to take away from us, the proud white people, let them do it. But they deserve to have everything they want. Then that's going to be on us. But I honestly don't think that time's going to come. I think the time's going to come when the proud whites will say, hey, it's time. It's time to move on. It's time to give everybody fair and equal treatment. We as white people are tired of getting pushed to the back of the bus. It's happened more than once. Don't care. Don't care about it happening again. So, as always, people, it's time to go. Just remember, keep the proud whites and proud blacks together. Let's don't let anybody or anything separate the proud United States of America. Now, let's take the niggers, take all the crackers, all the hunkies, let's put them together. And again, if they're not going to follow suit with us, let's send them someplace else. And I'm not a racist. I don't give a damn if it's black or white. I just want people. I don't give a damn what color. If you're polka dotted, if you come here to help make this country and keep this country great, then you can be part of us. You can be part of the team. If you come over to try to destroy it, get back to where you came from, because we, the good people of this great United States of America, don't want anything to do with you. In the meantime, let's remember there's always another election coming up, and that's when we have to continue to unite to expose these ass white bastard political parasitical perverted punks that we call politicians, both niggers, crackers, and hunkies. And at the end of the day, let's do on to them before they do on to us. Let's destroy them, but never any violence. Let's destroy them politically, of course, right here on the dark side.
All the way from Bootlip, I mean the Boot Hill of the Ozarks, Bob Romantic, the grim rapper of radio, with his brand new single, Nigga Nation. The grim rapper of radio will be performing at Snoots and More in St. Louis this weekend.
Word! This is not about the Emancipation Proclamation, but instead the low-life nigga nation. All the greasy, sleazy, violent niggers need immediate incarceration to save our great nation from extermination and annihilation through the perpetration by the nigga nation. All the nigga think about is demonstration and devastation. They got to say nigga this and nigga that, and all the good people think this is no more than defecation, especially when the nigga nation cries and screams reparation. A nigger phrase that means they want something for free, or if not, there will be a nigger congregation who in desperation will have criminal determination and expectation to destroy our great nation in violation of all of our laws. The nigger nation needs to quit selling all those illegal deadly street medication and stop their impersonations of a porch monkey. This greasy nigger nation must finally get proper socialization and integration into a decent civilization instead of all of their thug intimidation. Why the nigger nation has an infatuation with violence and criminal association, no one knows. But if the nigger nation will act like they belong in our decent civilization, they will then get an invitation to be a respectful citizen instead of participation in all the violent confrontation. The nigger nation then needs to quit all that nasty fornication, popping out all those daddyless babies. Maybe the nigger nation ought to instead think about masturbation and copulation to the decent generation of both proud white and proud black population. The nigger nation will have a graduation from violence and then have a celebration, no longer being a low-life nigger of the nigger nation. If all this is done with proper determination, the nigger nation will then get vindication and a proclamation of dedication to quit being a nigger who wishes devastation on our great nation. But if there's any deviation from this dissertation, there will be ramification and then justification, not to give you a standing ovation or a paid vacation, but the ultimate criminal destination, a lifetime of incarceration. Now it's time for the breakdown. Nigga. I don't mean Negro. Nigga. I don't mean black man. I mean nigga. Drop the mic, bitch.
This is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio, and you've been listening to the all-new KQQZ 1190 AM Insane Broadcasting, America's Bi-State Voice of Freedom, Radical Radio, and we are, as always, proud, very, very proud to be the Patriot.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time. And I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
The Patriot.
Your First Amendment and All-American Station.
A division of Insane Broadcasting.
Renegade Radio.
KQQZ, St. Louis. We'll